And here we go, boys and girls. Happy 2023. You're listening to this edition of Butcher on Sports. Simply Butcher's here. And as always, thanks for tuning in. And again, wishing you all a very happy holiday. And yes, a happy new year. And may things this new year come up bright and flourish for you here. That's the good thing I can say about this here. For everybody, you know, hope everything is good, if not better, or best, for your 2023 year. Let's get to some goodies here with the Detroit Lions and some other sports news that, yes, you can't get enough of. Here I go. Yesterday was a great afternoon to be a Lions fan. I have not seen this influx of happy, happy, joy, joy is coming out of Ford Field in a very long time, but I did. The Detroit Lions wish the Ford Field faithful a very happy new year on Sunday. They beat the crap out of the Chicago Bears by a final score of 41-10. It was important for Week 17. It keeps their hopes for playoffs alive and close out a home schedule with a 5-4 record, the first time they've done that then since 2016. The team has won more home games than they have lost. That's very important. I do think so. Well, first and foremost there, the Chicago Bears started off the scoring with Mr. Fields, yes. Short pass to Kermit for 13 yards. That was a touchdown. Point after touchdown was good. Jeff Goff got on the scoreboard and did their thing with a, yes, a pass to right, 2 yards, a touchdown. Lions tied the score 7-7. Santos came out with a 23-yard field goal. That was good. Chicago took back the lead 10-7. Second quarter, DeAndre Swift left in for 17 yards and a touchdown there. That was very enjoyable to see indeed that Swift ran with no problems, no concerns at all there. And that's a very good sign for the Detroit Lions up and coming there. With 4 minutes and 23 seconds left, Jeff Goff passed another pass to right for a 9-yard touchdown. Point after touchdown is good. Bagley came on with 20 seconds left with a 23-yard field goal. Lions in the quarter, at quarter number two, that is, leading 24-10 over the Chicago Bears. Daniel Skipper reported eligible in the third quarter here, as he was eligible for Williams, Jay Williams, or Jamar Williams, left tackle for a 2-yard touchdown, his 15th touchdown of the year. At 6:44, Jeff Goff passed a short pass to DeAndre Swift for 21 yards, a touchdown, and the route was on for the Detroit Lions. They finished again with a final score of, yes, indeed, 41-10. Now, I found it to be all righty. Yes, it did. Detroit ran for a season high of 2,000. I would love to see 2,000 in a game. I'll never. 235 yards on 39 carries against the Bears. Jamal Williams ran for 144 yards. DeAndre Swift, he chipped in for 78 yards and had his best game since week number one, including some passing touchdowns, of course. And even receiver, rookie, Jameson Williams, on one carry, he ran for 40 yards here and was a sweet run indeed. Almost very frustrated that he didn't get the touchdown, but boy, oh boy, the run was great. We just saw a lot of talent that we have not seen from Detroit Lions in a very long time this past season at Ford Field. I'll mention that, Ford Field. On defense, James Hudson tied Adrian Hutchinson on the NFL rookie sack record. He had three of his own. They both tied with 7 sacks. Of course, Aiden Hutchinson got a half a sack, so he leads by a half a sack there for the rookies that is on the team with a total of 7 sacks or more. By the way, the defense threw down a throwdown. Fields of Chicago Bears, the quarterback, 7 times in this particular game. For the 6th time in 8 games, the Lions did not commit an offensive turnover. And by the way, they won all 6 of them. Really, really good news indeed for the Detroit Lions. When I walked outside, as people exit the building at Ford Field, it's been a long time since I saw a lot of smiles on the faces of the compatriots and the people, excuse me, running a throat that there's a lot of hollering this weekend here. I'll tell you why. You can tell why when we do this broadcast here. You'll find out. Well, again, a lot of happy faces walking out of Ford Field. Walking out of Ford Field, indeed. And then some, as the Detroit Lions, just, and the fans were just totally happy. Everyone walking out of there happy. Most of them had their Driven Lions, Jared Goff bobblehead there that they walked out the stadium with. If you did come to the game, you got one of those bad boys here. And then some, and trade with your friends. it was fun to see that. It was happy to see people talking playoff, playoff, playoff. It was happy to see those cameras from the local stations and then some around the state of Michigan talking to fans, talking about playoff, playoff, playoff. Is the route finished for the Detroit Lions? Indeed not. The Lions got some great news that really they had not received since maybe Thanksgiving, okay, when they were on national television against the Buffalo Bills and almost won that game there. Of course, we could talk past, and we'll do that maybe next week after the season's over. If it's not over for the Detroit Lions, we'll prolong it. But Campbell, after the game, and yes, this afternoon, said he would treat this game as a win-win either way. Either we're playing to get in the playoffs or we're going to be playing to be a spoiler. That is it. And Campbell said that via Dave Burkett of the Detroit Free Press. So I want to give Dave the credit he deserves there for prying out that question. So either way, it will win. That's what Campbell added. He feels that the Lions earned the right to play on primetime. And I will go through that little collage of information in a second there. But again, the Detroit Lions can win their faith. I will repeat this probably several times, on Wednesday. If the Lions win and Seattle loses, the Detroit Lions are in the playoffs. If the Seattle Seahawks win, the Detroit Lions are out the playoffs. They're eliminated. However, if the Detroit Lions win against Green Bay, regardless of Seattle, then Green Bay is not in the playoffs. Plain and simple. Now, if Green Bay win, regardless of the Lions or Seattle, Green Bay will go to the playoffs. Yes, I will repeat this on Wednesday, but hey, it's up to you. Yeah, I'm quite sure you'll read about it all weekend long, or all week long. In the meanwhile, a lot of scheduling has been changed for national television and whatnot there. The Jacksonville Jaguars will host the Tennessee Titans on Saturday night to conclude a doubleheader game. The first game, I do believe, is the Chiefs and the the Las Vegas Raiders. That'll be the first game in the afternoon and late evening. Yes, you'll see Jacksonville host against Tennessee there. The winner of that game in the AFC South will earn a spot in the playoffs, where the victor will host the wild card weekend, regardless of that record. That's in week number 18, boys and girls. So, yes, that schedule on Saturday will be Kansas City against Las Vegas, Tennessee at Jacksonville. That'll be on ESPN, ABC, ESPN2, the ESPN Deportes. You'll get your whiff on national television as well as the cable there. On, yes, The last game of the season has already been decided, and the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers will meet on Sunday Night Football on NBC. Again, if the Detroit Lions win, and they'll know in that afternoon about Seattle's game that they play, and I think they're playing the Jets. I'll give you all that information Wednesday on the Wednesday show there. The Lions will know before they kick off at that point in time if Seattle lost or won. Now, if they win, they can stop Green Bay from going to the playoffs by beating Green Bay on their turf in Green Bay, and that'll be done. Again, the Lions feel it's a win-win situation for them. They can be the winners and go to the playoffs, or they can be the spoilers and keep Green Bay from going too. So there you have it, boys and girls. A smorgasbord of football that you can't get enough of. I'm quite sure we're going to talk a little bit more about the Lions and their quest to get in the playoffs with a little help if somebody beats Seattle and they do their job and beat Green Bay. Art McNally, if you have not heard of this particular individual, he was an official that was highly, highly respected in the National Football League and came the first on-the-field official to be inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It was a well-deserved honor. McNally shaped the NFL and its officials to be somewhat very credible and very knowledgeable. McNally, he died at the age of 97 this past weekend. That's according to Pro Football Hall of Famer that reported this particular story. The Halls, according to McNally's four children, Tom McNally, Art McNally, died of natural causes on Sunday in the hospital in Newtown, Pennsylvania, near his longtime home there. Art McNally dead at the age of 97 years old by natural causes. He will be very well respected on the job he's done in shaping officials in the National Football League and then some. He had a lot of doggone ump when it came down to the National Football League and how officials do their business, especially when the merger came. He was very instrumental in merging those officials to come on board with the changes and also the merging of how things are done when the AFC and the NFC got together there. Thought about football there. TCU just came in and beat the cowboy crap out of the University of Michigan. Although a lot of people say the game was close and University of Michigan did this and that and the other. Let's get one thing straight there. McNamara gave up 21 points, either by dropping the ball, sure plays, going into end zone. Coaching mistakes were made. And again, it was all about about the quarterback here. That's McNamara. It's all about him. And again, the University of Michigan didn't get the job done. It was supposed to be a working game here. It wasn't working at all. A game that never worked. In the first half, they threw themselves out the ball game completely there and played comeback and all the way through the game, which is not very good. TCU, who were known for their offense there, didn't let it sweat them a bit. They led from beginning to end. And again, University of Michigan is again sucking their chops home again. Oh, well. Some other sad news there. Martina Navratilova will be starting the 2022-23 season ready to fight. Navratilova is 66 years old, tennis legend, 18-time Grand Slam singles champion, announced today that she is diagnosed with throat cancer and breast cancer. This double whammy is serious, but it's still fixable. Navratilova said via the Tennis Channel that she's hoping for a favorable outcome. It's going to stink for a while, but she have the courage to fight, and to all I have got, and she's going to give it with all the fight she has got there. That's where her statement was on the Tennis Channel, which I was pleasurably watched this afternoon, and wish her well in a fight against cancer. The Winter Classic was on today at Fenway Park in Boston. Yes, on the north side there. And Pittsburgh was winning the game until the third period, and then Boston came back with two goals in the third and beat Pittsburgh by a final score of 2-1. It was not a complication per se, but a puck went in the Boston net at the very time the green light was on that did not count it, or the red light was on, whatever it says. Goal did not count. Again, Boston wins there. I've always thought the Winter Classic should be something that I think each and every team should be able to experience an outdoor game in their own backyard at least once or twice a year. And I think the NHL has the facilities to do that and able to facilitate that in Canada as well as in the United States. And it's been a fun gathering. It puts more people in the park and in the seats than ever have been in the particular arenas that they play in. It's just a festive atmosphere. From the time the puck drops to the end of the game when they all get in line and shake each other's hand like the little leaguers. And we teach all the kids to be sporting and good sports about there. I've always enjoyed. I've been at 3 Winter Classics and hopefully hit the Winter Classic next year when it'll be in Seattle. I have relatives there, aunties, grandmas there, still living and kicking. Hi, Grandma Gladys. But it will be something to, I'll see a lot of friends, fans, and relatives there. But yours truly is going to try to make that particular occasion there next year. God willing, I will be there at the Winter Classic in Seattle next year. And then, yes, you fans in Portland, I'll come down and see y'all too. I'll see y'all first. Speaking of some hockey there, Jacob Voronic returned to the Red Wings lineup, has been put off for at least another week. He has suspended his conditioning stint with the Grand Rapids Griffins. Voronic will play 3 more games in the AHL this week, all at Van Andel Arena, Wednesday versus Cleveland, Friday and Saturday against Texas. Then they'll make a decision if he's going to come on down and join the Red Wings main team there. In the meanwhile, the Red Wings will be not playing until Wednesday evening when they take on the New Jersey Devils at LCA, which is Little Caesars Arena, at 7 p.m. The Pistons are on the board there. They'll be playing tonight. The Portland Trail Blazers are set and make their 2023 Canada debut tonight at the Mata Center. And again, against the Detroit Pistons, they're 18-17. The Blazers, I would say, but they have been in a funk. Their last 7 games, they have lost 5 of them 7 games there. So I'm quite sure Portland are ready, set, and go to give the Pistons a bad way to go to begin their season off. Ucky and yucky as it has been the season for the Detroit Pistons. By the way, the Detroit Pistons has the best bench in all of the National Basketball Association. I looked that up today. The best bench in scoring. However, Detroit has made a commitment for those young kids to get the experience they need and make the mistakes and fall over their face and all this other stuff. So, again, wins and losses mean nothing to the Detroit Pistons. Because you would have had those people, the best people on the doggone bench start, and those young kids would be coming off the bench. But, again, that's not my philosophy. That's the coaching staff, general managers, and all the other stuff with the Detroit Pistons. I have nothing to do with that. In the meanwhile, the Pistons have the worst record of all teams in the NBA. Makes sense, don't it? The best bench in the NBA and the worst record in the NBA. How about that? With that saying here, I'm going to end another edition of Butcher on Sports here. This month, special Monday that we wasn't on yesterday because there was so much going on. So much going on Sunday, and didn't want to miss a doggone drop of it there. And rather than just put cookie cut things together, we go ahead and I'm glad I waited around here. The Detroit Lions will be on Sunday Night Football, the last game of the season. I can't wait. I can't wait and see it there. So we will be back on Wednesday, and I'll make several announcements on some good things that's happened with Butch on Sports, not only radio-wise, but, yes, television-wise there. So I'm anxious to get that information to you, but I want to be accurate with every doggone bit of it. So let's just sit back and relax and stuff there until Wednesday, and you'll get another edition of Butch on Sports. Butch on Sports is a presentation of Oh My Darling Productions. Yes, always. And you can check Butch on Sports on Facebook. Always on Facebook. Butch on Sports on Facebook, or go to Butch Davis on Facebook. You'll catch either one. Go to the homepage at Podomatic.com. Just type in SimPlyButchToo.podomatic.com. You can also catch up the Game Sports Show .podbean.com for Butcher on Sports there. And we'll get, again, some further results on those particulars on Wednesday, officially there. You know, I like to be truthful with my fans, and you all have been very loyal. And thank you, everyone, for the holiday greetings, as well as the New Year's greetings, and all the little pictures you sent, and a nice little comment. I didn't get one bad comment this year. That was a good one. I'm very grateful. Very grateful. Grateful to give you some more sports news. Yes, you can't get enough of. For that, I am done here. Again, Butch on Sports is a presentation of Oh My Darling Productions. Check me out on Wednesday and tell your friends about Butch on Sports. Yes, we'll be back on Wednesday.